Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question, or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at the sitevisibility.co.uk/contact page. Alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be happy to help. Now, today I'm joined by Ollie Gardner, Unbounce co-founder, marketing conversion optimization expert, international keynote speaker. Oh, the list just goes on. I almost couldn't get my pronunciation around some of those things. Ollie, how are you?
I'm great, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
And you're in sunny Canada, aren't you?
Yes, Vancouver, BC, on the left coast.
It's fantastic.
It actually is quite sunny right now.
Good. Well, I have my eye on the weather, as my listeners know. You know, I always have my eye on the weather wherever it is in the world. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Unbounce.
Sure. Well, I actually grew up in the UK, moved to Canada in 2000, worked for a couple of startups, and then 2009, me and five other guys started Unbounce. We have six co-founders. And it's been, you know, 8 years now. I was the marketing person when we started the company, ran marketing for a few years, then creative director. Now I spend about half my time traveling the world as a public speaker, which really sucks. It's really hard.
I feel really sorry for you.
Right. And the rest of the time, you know, I work with the marketing team and trying to basically come up with, you know, new ideas for marketing.
Fantastic. So whereabouts were you in the UK?
It's funny. I grew up in Scotland, but I was born in Newcastle, so I'm a Geordie.
Oh, right.
And my best friend, there was some conversation going on Facebook, and I said something, and someone else chimed in and went, "Oh, but Ollie's Scottish." And then my buddy Liam jumps in and goes, "Emphasis on ish." Which I thought was brilliant. But yeah, so technically a Geordie, but I grew up in Scotland.
Yeah, there's not a hint of a Geordie accent. Did you ever have one?
I did, actually.
Did you?
And but I actually had quite a posh accent when I was
posh
a kid.
Posh Geordie accent? Can that possibly exist?
Well, I got the posh from my dad's from Oxford, my mom's from the East End of London, so I got it. I think I picked it up from my dad.
Oh, wow.
And but then I came home from school one day, I was eight, and I said, "I'm not talking like you anymore. I keep getting punched." So then I developed my Geordie accent, and then that turned into a Scottish accent when I moved, and now I have some really wrangled Canadian something accent.
Anyway, as much as I'd love to talk about accents, I do want to specifically talk, because I know that you were going to change your middle name to Landing Page, weren't you?
No, I was going to change my entire name.
To Landing Page, Mr. Landing Page.
Yeah.
Because I know that you've got some very strong opinions on digital campaigns not linking to a dedicated landing page, haven't you? Why is this so important? Silly question, really, but I have to ask it. Why is it so important? And why do you think so many online organizations or sort of online marketing departments make the mistake of not doing this?
Well, it's not a silly question, because it is so important, because so many still do it wrong. You can think of it like, here's a simple way. Say you are a service provider, you do plumbing, roofing, tiling, or something. You have a bunch of things. If you're doing paid ads and for those specific services, because they're all unique, and you send it to your homepage, people then have to look around your website to try and confirm or find that you have that service. Whereas if you have multiple products, like lots of products, it just gets overly complex. Or if you're bidding on, like, we integrate Unbounce with Salesforce and HubSpot. So if we're bidding on those terms, you need to go to an experience that talks specifically about that. If it came to our homepage, they have to do all this work to find that thing you were talking about, and most people won't do that. Mm. So it's really important you create that dedicated experience that delivers on the promise you made in your ad, your marketing, your email, whatever.
It's one of those interesting things, isn't it? Because it's so fundamental. I mean, when you sort of go to SEO school, it's probably a bit of a generic term, SEO these days, but sort of like a sort of online marketing school, it's probably one of the first things you learn, isn't it? That if you've got a specific campaign, have a specific landing page for it. But do you think it's, I don't know, maybe it's a bit of a lost art these days, isn't it?
It blows my mind. I mean, really, the simplest way of thinking about it, and I think this is where people maybe forget, is that you, as a marketer, you have two options when you're driving traffic. Basically, your organic traffic goes to your website. Leave that alone. Anything else you do, any campaign you're running, needs to go to a landing page that's separate from that. It's that split. Yeah. People need to wrap their head around more.
Right. I want to talk about Chrome and specifically their ad blocker, which apparently, and I say apparently because it's not that apparent to me. I don't know if it's apparent to other users, but apparently it clicked in earlier this year. And it's supposed to, I know it's supposed to follow the Coalition for Better Ads sort of campaign, isn't it? How much of an impact do you think this is having, and what do online marketers need to do about it, if anything?
Not as much as, I mean, this could be like a lot of things that get rolled out, like when they said they were going to penalize people for certain things on mobile, and then it didn't really happen. You know, it's like all this scare tactics for a reason, but and hopefully that makes people behave better by default. But I haven't seen much impact. And so we have, you know, pop-ups is one of our products. So we were concerned that it was going to have an impact because it's their language. They talk about pop-ups and all that kind of stuff. But it's not really like that. It seems, and we reached out to the Coalition for Better Ads to get clarification, because the way they define an ad, they sometimes say pop-up, they sometimes say ad. It's like a third-party thing. So it's like something you've paid for to be on someone else's site, like Google AdSense or something.
Right.
So if you own a pop-up yourself on your own site, delivering your own marketing to visitors, there's nothing wrong with that. It's some weird mixed up third party thing. It's not very clear. I asked for clarification. They were clear as mud when they responded. They basically pushed it on to Google and they won't answer either. So like it's really vague, but I haven't seen any negative impact. We tested all of our stuff to see if it would have an impact. It didn't. I think it's really about, there are some scummy sites out there. They'll get penalized, but if you're a decent person, it's not going to impact you.
You mentioned pop-ups there, and I know that is one of your big, I mean, you've got at least one pop-up product, haven't you? Yep. I was just wondering, because I know that you've got some good ideas about what makes good and bad pop-ups. Let's start with bad pop-ups. I mean, to me, all pop-ups are bad. I mean, I must admit, this is difficult for me to talk about, because I hate pop-ups with a passion. And the idea of a good pop-up seems like an oxymoron to me. But obviously they work, otherwise marketers wouldn't do it. But I mean, what makes, let's start with the bad. What makes a horrible pop-up?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, for a second, consider what it's like to have to market pop-ups. Like,
one worst nightmare.
Universally despised.
There's the pop-up man. Get him.
There are many ways to make them good. But yeah, so bad ones. Usually it's, and things flip over, it's when you're being disrespectful in some way. So it's poorly targeted.
Yeah.
So it's not really relevant. There's a lack of control where, you know, you can't close it or something. There's a lack of respect. So there's the manipulation that a lot of sleazy marketers try and do is the good cop, bad cop, the confirm shaming approach, where, you know, it's like, get my ebook on how to get rich. Yes, get the ebook. No, I like to murder kittens and children at night.
Oh, I hate that. No, I'm not interested in having a happy life and making lots of money and helping people.
I mean, come on. We're beyond that. I mean, please continue doing that if you want to be seen as a douchebag and have no real customers. Just continue doing that. But the problem there is actually that it's a bad precedent and it makes the rest of us look bad because you don't have to do it like that. Yeah. And, you know, we've proven, lots of people have proven, you can do it in a really helpful, delightful manner if you pull the reins back a little bit and be a bit more considerate and, you know, of what you're actually trying to achieve and why someone else would want to benefit from that.
Yeah. Now, back in, I think it was January this year, you did a 20 blog post in 30 days challenge. And I'm very, very interested to know, well, what your findings were and were there any surprises?
The surprise, I tried to do 30 in 30, but I had to stop doing weekends because I was going to get, my wife would divorce me.
Yeah.
The first realization is that that's really hard work because these weren't like, you know, little 300-word meaningless thought pieces. These were like, I wrote 37,000 words in total.
Wow.
And they're really deep conversational things. They're very interactive. So my goal was to increase product awareness for our new products.
Yeah.
So I was putting like lots of inline live demos and bending these features as much as I could to create really cool new use cases. So it was a lot of hardcore work, but amazingly rewarding. Some surprises. Well, one of the biggest ones was how poorly blog content converts.
Really?
Because my goal was to infuse it with useful product mentions and everything to increase awareness and increase, you know, signups and adoption of those products. But when I measured it afterwards, the conversion rate all the way through to an actual sign up for a trial was 0.3%.
That's really low, isn't it?
It feels low, yeah. But then I look back historically, and that's always been kind of the performance of our blog. And I reached out to other people, and they had the same experience. Andy Crestedina, I think, says it best from Orbit Media, that because he shared all his data with me, and he was 0.03%. But that's okay. He has a web design and development company in agency in Chicago. And basically, all of the content they create boosts the domain authority of the site. So when people search for what they actually do, they get found. So you shouldn't expect your content to convert in the same kind of manner because it has a different job. However, because I did all of this analysis right at the end of the month, that wasn't enough time for other effects to come in and to see what the actual impact was. And I realized a month ago, a few weeks ago, that I was looking at the data wrong. Ah. I was being too clean and I was saying, what is the conversion rate of people who see this new content, this Product Awareness Month content, but nothing else, no other blog content? What that does, it means it's only first-time visitors because it means they don't come back and look at the rest of the blog. They hadn't seen the blog previously to that. So it was a very small segment and I wasn't treating them, I wasn't looking at them beyond that month, like if they came back.
Okay.
So I did the query properly and it actually converted at 0.6%, which is double. It's 100% increase over the regular blog content.
Right.
So that's a nice surprise. Because I went back and because I was going to put some of this in my latest talk. So I went back and I ran the data and I was like, oh my God, I was wrong. It was good.
So let me get it right. Those figures again, did he say it was initially 3% and then went to 6%?
0.3.
0.3
then, to 0.6. Yeah.
0.6. Right. That's still really low though, isn't it?
Well, when you think about it, I mean, this is content. People don't come to read blog content for the purpose of signing up for buying software.
You're right, of course. Yeah.
Trying to solve a problem.
Yeah.
But I did a couple of things. I was infusing it with all of this product mentions, but I also changed the design of the blog and to take away the regular navigation you have on a blog, like, which is usually your product stuff, like features and pricing and da-da-da-da, too much. Yeah. So I just made the header value prop and we have these three products, just very clear. Took away the sidebar because nobody clicked on the sidebar. I looked at the analysis after 3 days. I'm like, screw that. Take it off.
Yes.
It's a total waste of time. I think the redesign had some impact, obviously. The attribution is difficult and because I just figured this out. I haven't dug deeper. But,
sure. I mean, do you have any idea? Because you did 20 blog posts in 30 days. Do you think there might be an optimum? Might it be less than that? Could you have done significantly less and got a similar effect, do you think?
Don't know.
Interesting, isn't it?
I think, well, there are two benefits to doing that much. A, the momentum. So I hadn't written on the blog for 2 years. So I built a lot of momentum, got a lot of attention again, got a lot more traffic coming in. And the exploration, I learned so much just by going through the process. But also, if I'd said at the start, I'm going to write 3 blog posts in January, I would have written none.
Sure.
Because I challenged myself to write 30, and I publicly stated this and told the company, then I was, you know, I had to commit to this. So that, you know, some of those things, the absurdity of it kind of helps it be successful.
So of all the things we've spoken about today, we've covered quite a few different areas. Does one stick out as a sort of key takeaway for our audience today, do you think?
If you're not, you know, doing that initial thing correctly, like sending any of your campaign traffic to a dedicated landing page, then you should do that. But if you're already doing that, two things. If you're not doing that, you should do it. But if you're already doing that, and maybe you want a bit of help, like optimizing the existing page, we released recently a landing page analyzer. It's totally free. Mm-hmm. It's really cool, though, because it's better than most of that type of thing, because it's very actionable. It'll analyze it based on, like, it depends how much information you put in. You can put in your traffic sources, like whether you're doing AdWords, email, blah, 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 organic, some of the keywords you might be using, the conversion rate, if you know it, whether it has a form. And it will do all this analysis based on some conversion center design principles, a bit of SEO, some social graph stuff. It'll look at trust factors and SSL and a whole bunch of stuff. And it'll look at page speed. And instead of just saying, your page is slow, it looks at the images and sees how big they are. And it will actually just, anything that needs compressed to be compressed, it will do it for you and then let you download a compressed version. So very actionable. Okay. If you don't have open graph tags, like for social, it will tell you that and it will give you the code to put on. So it's really aimed at, like, it's a great QA tool. You know, if you have a page or if you're about to launch a page, just run it through and go, oh, I didn't think of that. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a, just search for, I mean, if you have show notes, but Unbounced Landing Page Analyzer.
Yeah, if you could send us a link, Ollie, and I'll make sure it goes in the show notes. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for that. Well, and thank you for coming on the show today. It's been absolutely fab to have you on. And how can our listeners find out more about you and more about Unbounce?
Unbounce.com, obviously, for the company, for the products. For me, Twitter is always the best place. Ollie Gardner on Twitter. I don't really hang out on LinkedIn very much. Twitter's the best place. And brilliant. If you have an event and you need an amazing speaker, I'm blowing my own horn here, ollie.unbounce.com is my speaker page. Little fantastic plug.
And Gardner is spelled Gardner, isn't it?
Correct.
Occasionally you see an I after the D, but there's no I in your Gardner.
No.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IAMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please do leave us a review. Questions and suggestions to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet @sitevisibility. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. That's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Ollie.
Thank you, Andy. That was a lot of fun.
It was, wasn't it? And thanks for coming on. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.